Good morning. So good to have you here this morning. Well, we've had Michael here all weekend, and it has been powerful, powerful. Men, wasn't that such a feast from Michael on Saturday morning? So good. We also had Patrick Adams with us this weekend. I just want to thank you, Patrick, for coming, being with us. You're just an amazing man. And thank your family for releasing you to come. It's awesome. Awesome man of God. Well, it's my privilege to introduce Michael this morning. Is Patrick going to go first? Well, let me talk about you because then I won't have the mic again. And then we'll give it to Patrick. Well, you know, I pretend sometimes. But Michael is such a friend, and he's a prophet. But what I love about him the most is that he loves Jesus. And that's a rare thing for a prophet sometimes, is to love Jesus. I think sometimes they love prophecy way more than they love Jesus. But Michael's one of those that loves Jesus and loves being a prophet, but he loves Jesus so much more. And so we just honor you today, Michael. But would you help welcome Patrick as he comes?
How's everybody doing this morning? Well, I'm always honored to be here at the Mission in Vacaville. As I always say, y'all are family. I mean, there's quite no place like the Mission. Pastor Deb and the team, Dez and Ryan and Paris and Kim, the hospitality, the gift of hospitality that resides in this place. Every time, I mean, Michael and I walked into our hotel's room, and there's always this big old gift basket. And I texted Michael, the snacks, I mean, they're just like hand-picked by the Spirit of God. I mean, they heard the Lord. Dez heard the Lord when they picked these snacks. I mean, they had the funky chunky, anyways, it was just sea salt caramel. We got back to Rosa, we just texted back and forth. Oh my goodness, I love coming to the Mission. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Deb and Dave Crone for always your generosity and allowing me to come with Michael and the blessing of that. It's not a light thing to me. You know, I felt like I've kind of grown up here a little bit over the last 5-6 years I've been coming and leaps and bounds. And I have to agree with Pastor Ryan. It's an honor to travel with the prophet of God who truly, truly not only loves Jesus, loves the Lord first and foremost, but he reflects the character, the reflection of the character of Christ in the prophet. And as much as I love the prophecy and the prophetic and the dream interpretation and every question I have for him, you know what the biggest blessing and gift is to walk with a man of God that looks like Christ. If you look like Christ, the prophecy will follow. If you look like Christ, the blessings will follow. If you're obedient unto death as Christ was, his Spirit, his promises will follow. And this morning in the midst of worship, the one word that came to my mind was also mystery. There was a mystery. We're a peculiar people. We're strange in the best way possible. We're led by the Spirit of God. We are led by a spirit, the Spirit of the highest King over all the earth, the universe. The Spirit of God leads us and guides us. And there's been a theme this entire weekend of being led by God. We have access to a spirit, the Spirit of God that leads us through mountains. It leads us through valleys. He leads us through the unknowns. He'll call us across the sea and lead us into encounters. It's a mystery. It's mysterious. And sometimes we get caught up in trying to figure out how to be led. It's not your job to try to understand how to be led. You just need to put forth your hand. And it says he'll lead you by still waters. Psalm 23, I love it. It's a go-to. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. Oh, I love that. Still waters, peace. We talked about peace this weekend. There's peace in God, peace in Christ. Regardless of the season, there's still waters. But how often do we walk past this scripture? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, wait. He leads me beside still waters. Man, you must be led by still waters. So often we take it for granted that once we're saved and walking in the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the operation of His Spirit are flowing in us, that we have access to peace at all times and there's still waters. We can always stop by the still waters. According to this word, if you want still waters, you must be led to still waters. And oftentimes, being led is not easy. Oftentimes, we think, Mark and I were talking about this yesterday. So often, these big destiny words of you're going to do X, Y, Z and go to the nations and you're going to flow in this gifting. And as a husband, 6-year anniversary coming on, being led by still water sometimes is, Michael talked about this in the men's meeting. Are you being sweet enough to your wife? Are you loving your kids? Are you not causing them to anger and to frustration? Because if you're doing that, you're being led by me. There will be still waters in your house. But Lord, I'm traveling and ministering. I want to preach the word of God and I want to do mighty acts for the word of the Lord and for God. That's true. That's good. That's all great. But if you're not keeping an atmosphere of the presence of God and being led by His Spirit in every minor detail, then all the other stuff, it's like that chaff. If you've been following the word for 2024, Yes Ministries, the word Michael released this year is, it's a year of open doors. That's great. That's a great word. But there was a second part to that word. As you walk through doors, there's going to be chaff. Chaff. You know what chaff is? The winnowing of wheat. Threshing floors where they separate wheat from chaff. They throw it in the air and then the wind blows and the chaff, which is not the usual part, as Michael explained, the irritants, that's not good fruit, just gets blown away. So like the separation of flesh and spirit per se. And part of the word of the year was, as you're led by the hand of God, you're going to be led through open doors and there's going to be opportunity for irritants to rise. But Lord, you're leading me. And if I'm obeying you, Father, then it should be smooth sailing, right? If I'm obeying the word of the Lord, then all these things should come to pass in my time frame. But the Lord says, your times are in my hands. I will cause these things to come to pass in due season. Due season. That's a season that He ordains and orchestrates. And so there's just been a theme of peace this entire weekend, but it's by being led by His Spirit. And when you're led by Him, when you do not take things into your own hands, there's been a scripture all year, it's been resounding in my spirit. I cannot get past. And Michael brought it up yesterday, I believe, in the men's meeting. David and Saul, when Saul came to the cave and David had his chance, David had his opportunity to work out by his own hand the destiny and calling over his life by touching the Lord's anointed. This word he was anointed from as a young man in the palace of the kings. At first being steward and raised by Saul as a father figure, but then pushed out into the wilderness. Spears and javelins thrown at him. He already had a hard enough time as it was with his own father pushing him out to pasture and not acknowledging him. Now this new father figure, this new mentor he had, a king, and now he's in the palace. He now pushes him out into the wilderness. Yet David stayed true to the hand and leading of God. It said David, by his actions we see, was led by the Spirit of God at all times. But there's always comes a point when God's leading you. And Michael brought this up in the men's meeting. So often the Lord leads us to a place of confrontation. This is a kingdom of confrontation. There is no way around confrontation. And so often as I grew up in the Lord and even as a husband and raising kids and in business, I've abdicated my authority sometimes by avoiding confrontation. We cannot avoid confrontation. But in the midst of confrontation, we must be led that His will and His spirit and His character is in operation through us. So the Lord will lead you by still waters, but sometimes it's a place of confrontation, not with the enemy, not with your fellow man, not with an unbeliever. He'll lead you in a confrontation with the man in the mirror. Why? The Lord's after your heart, man. He calls you as kings and priests, anointed worshipers, but He's after the heart. He wants the character of Christ to rise in you because He knows He wants to give you the desires of your heart. I hang on to that, man. That's a life scripture. Delight myself. Abide in Him. Abide in the true vine. Delight myself, Lord. Give me the desires of my heart. But so often those desires go astray. We need God to realign. So He'll give you those desires, but it's a John 15 thing. You got to abide in the true vine. He just wants you to abide in the true vine, to be whole and healthy. But He'll lead you to a place of confrontation. And David, He allowed an opportunity to come to David. An opportunity that looked like, hey, God's lining this thing up. My enemy, I'm in a cave hiding with the mighty man of God behind me. Saul's feet are uncovered as a euphemism. He was using the restroom. He was exposed. He probably didn't have his sword on him, had nothing on him. And David said, here's my chance. Maybe he thought, here's my chance. And even the mighty man of God behind him. David, this time has been appointed for you. This moment has been appointed for you. And David has a struggle in his spirit. He's led by God, but there's a confrontation going on in his heart. Shall I take my destiny? Shall I take what the Lord has called for me by my own hand? It looks like he's put it in my hand for me to grasp. But God didn't tell David, grasp Saul's robe and pull. He said, grasp my hand. Grasp my hand, and by my hand, I will wrought a victory. I will bring you a victory through my hand, through my ways. And so David gets close to making the utmost mistake. Woo-wee. Saul himself had made the same mistake. Samuel told him, kill them all. Told Saul, kill them all. I don't want to hear any sheep. I don't want to see any spoils in the camp. Obedience better than sacrifice. Samuel told him, he's walking back to the camp. He's like, what is the bleeding of the sheep? What is this sound of disobedience? He confronts Saul. Saul gets angry. He tries to, I saved a few for the sacrifice. Don't lie. Don't lie. We knew your heart was not pure. Don't try to lie to God. Tell him, I wanted to do this because, you know, I wanted to serve you. And you disobeyed. But then Saul fought against the prophet. Samuel goes a turn. So Saul reaches out his hand. He grabs the garment. He grabs the robe, which was a sign of the office. Tore it. Samuel says, surely this day the kingdom has been rent from you. Saul made that mistake. David, this close to making that mistake. Everything lined up. Everything looked right. He'd been obeying God. But God said, you know what? I'm going to allow that one more situation. I need to get this self-promotion out of your heart. I need to get this ounce of taking things into your own hands. I need to get the reliance on self. Maybe, David, you're 85, 90% there. I need 100% because I've called you to rule a kingdom. It says when David was established finally, it says David perceived that he had been anointed king. He had been made king. And the word says it wasn't for David's sake. It didn't say that David perceived it was for his sake. It didn't say that David perceived it was for even for his family's sake. But it said David perceived he had been exalted for God's people's sake. So the Lord knew, if I want you to lead and guide my people in the statutes of the Lord, to bring revival to the kingdom, for you to bring revival to your household, for the blessings and the idols to be, for idols to be torn down so blessings can flow, self-reliance, self-promotion had to come down. And so often it's tough as believers when we have such a victorious language, a victorious rhetoric, and sometimes we can mix that language. We mix it with self sometimes. And we try to grasp on to kingdoms by our own hands. And so David came this close, and his mighty men were right behind him, the men of God. And a lot of these men, most of them probably weren't even believers, serving other gods. But they saw that David was anointed. They saw him in battle, and they believed in him. Just as Hiram did business with David and Solomon, he said, God's on your side. I see the working of the Lord on your behalf, so I'm going to join myself. So David's creeping up, came this close to taking Saul's life, taking the kingdom in his hand. His men behind you. Sometimes, Michael preaches, you got some lots sometimes. You bring some lots with you who will encourage you. Take it, man. But David, he cut a little piece off, but his heart smote him. That was the difference between David and Saul. A man after the flesh, a man after the spirit. The Lord's always trying to separate flesh and spirit. There's seasons of open doors and opportunities. And some doors, there's chaffs arising. David took the small piece. He got pushed a little bit out of the Lord's shadow. He got pushed a little bit out of the will of the Lord there. I think he had one. I think he still had one foot in, though. He still had one. So the Lord dragged him back in. But it says his heart smote him. For I shall not, he remembered the statutes and the callings. He remembered the leading of the Lord. I shall not touch the Lord's anointed. This is the Lord's anointed, and I will allow him to bring the kingdom into my hands. Surely I will not smite the king of God, regardless of his actions. How many times we like to justify ourselves, to take matters into our own hands, to send that text, to send that email, say, you've treated me wrong, you have offended me, and now I must stand up for myself. I'm offended. I must take this matter into my own hands. And how often does that tie God's hands from having the working and operation of his spirit in the matter? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The Spirit of God working in our lives is a mystery. He's just calling us to be led. But God, if I don't do this, then this thing's going to happen. And how are you going to? He didn't say try to figure it out how to be led. Don't orchestrate how to be led by God. Just take his hand. Step by step, moment by moment, season by season. And he'll lead you by still waters. And he'll bring you and set you and promote you in his timing. So David, his heart smote him. He was convicted of the Lord. He repented unto David. Ray Hughes has a great quote. He says, David was a first-class sinner, but he was a first-class repenter. Amen. And he repented of the Lord. And you know that David then stepped out of the cave. David could have hid. He could have stayed back in the cave. He could have said, oh, I made a mistake. I'm going to hang out right here until they go away. But he allowed himself to be seen. You know, it reminds me of perfect love casts out all fear. To expose yourself to your enemy. To love your enemy. For David to step out and expose himself to Saul. And he calls him father. He called Saul father in the midst of being persecuted. He calls Saul his father. And basically, why art thou persecuting me? Another Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul, why are you persecuting me? I call you father. And in that moment where David stepped out in perfect love to expose himself, basically Saul's heart was now smote. Saul's heart, he had a moment of clarity. The darkness, just as when David would play for him as a minstrel and the anointing, and the evil spirits would lift, and Saul would have clarity. It says Saul would have a refreshing of the Lord. It's the same refreshing we all receive in worship. The minstrels and the psalmists sing unto the Lord. There's a refreshing, and that word means to breathe easier, to take a deep breath. And in that moment, David didn't have a harp in his hand, but he had the love of God coming through him to Saul. And it says Saul's heart smote him, and he must have had another moment of clarity. And Saul basically cried. He said, I'm sorry. He said, surely the kingdom is yours. And then David, you know, as David does, he went on and saying, well, the Lord's going to judge between me and you. He said his nice thing, but he had to get in there. Just so you know, kingdom still belongs to me. God's going to do it, but I didn't do it today. And my point with all that is, we're a people led by Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Isn't that special? Isn't that, I won't say that weird, but isn't that like strange? I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't led by God. And so often my leading and the guidance was unbeknownst to me. It was the grace. Those prayers, the ancient prayers. My parents, my grandparents, who knows how many generations back. We're saying, lead and guide my great, 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 great grandson. We don't know, but we're walking in it. We're walking in it. It's part of that mystery. So do not be discouraged. I think that there's like an impartation of joy in this mystery. Come on, it's exciting. Come on, I ain't got to figure it out. I just have to be led. I don't need a 10-point plan. Man, it's exciting. I can enjoy. I can go get some coffee and enjoy. Talk about God. Sit there, think about the day. Well, I got bills to pay, Lord. That's all right. He's going to handle it. I got a calling in God. That's all right. He'll bring it through his hand. Do you believe he'll promote you and exalt you in due time and in his season? He'll make all things beautiful in his timing? Let him do it. I love the still waters. You just got to be led by him. So Father, just say thank you this morning, Lord. As prophet comes up to release the word of God, I just say thank you, Lord, that there's just still waters are flowing right now. We're being led by you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this honor. Man, thank you, Jesus. Palm Sunday, thank you for going to the cross, man. Thank you, Father, that by your blood, we have access, the veil was rent, to your spirit at all times. Thank you, Lord. Father, we submit unto you our plans. We cast our cares and burdens back onto you, Father. You gave us these plans. You gave us a lot of these ideas, but Lord, we want to hand them back to you. Come on. We just roll it back onto you, Father. And we just say thank you that we cast our cares, burdens, dreams, hopes, and we just receive your sustaining spirit. And your leading and guidance from Father, I pray for a spirit of joy to arise right now. I pray for a spirit of heaviness to be lifted. Heaviness, you have no place on God's people. I command you to lift in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray the oil of joy to flow over your people right now. Any eyes that have been dim, Lord, I pray they be opened and enlightened right now. I pray any scales that have fallen, Father, I pray they fall off. That they would see you in the Spirit, see you, your hand leading us, Father, the Good Shepherd. Thank you for that. You are the Good Shepherd. Thank you that when we even go astray, Lord, you're going out and getting us. You're going out and getting us, Lord. So we just submit it all to you, Father. And Lord, we open our hearts this morning as Prophet Michael releases the word that he has that you've given to him. And Father, we just say, lead us, guide us, and may we drink from your still waters today. May we be planted by the rivers of water, Father, that we shall have fruit in due season, and your leaf shall not wither. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm excited for this word, Prophet. Come on, bless the Lord. What a word. What a word.
It's funny. I'm really not going to say much because I think the Lord has already spoken. If you didn't hear the Lord in that, something is wrong with you. I'm amazed at how we can be in the presence and not hear the Lord. Yeah. I love how somebody just said, where was that at? He said, that'll preach. Amen. That's what we were doing. That's what that was. I agree with you. Let me say this. In preparing to come here, we were in prayer. And the Lord said something to me that I had not heard in a long time. And so I'm going to touch on this. A word that we know from Scripture, and that's going to go right in line with what Patrick was saying. The word winnow, winnow, winnow. When the time had come to thresh the wheat, in the time of gathering in the wheat, in the time of harvest, and they would bring in the wheat, you would have to winnow. Now, winnowing is when you get the fan and you would take that multi-pronged instrument and you would lift up the wheat in the air and the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. That's what you call the winnowing. It is the process of getting air or wind in the middle of the wheat. When Patrick was sharing, as he was talking, what I kept hearing the Lord say over and over is we're in the season where God is sending a fresh wind. Even in the midst of worship, one of the worship songs that was going out about a fresh wind is blowing. I was standing on the front row going, okay, Lord, I hear the confirmation. It is about the wind being led. Letting the Spirit of God move in and around your choices, your decisions, your lifestyle, your future. Because God is in this moment. I truly believe we're in a divine moment where God is separating our choices from His choices. He's separating our desired future from the future He has for us. He's separating our friendships from the divine relationships He's trying to bring us. And in the midst of this separation, I believe right now many of us are in a season where we feel overly stressed, where we feel like God is testing the decisions we're making. This is part of picking up where we were last night and understanding that God is calling us to a season of letting the wind of the Spirit bring us into greater harvest, greater manifestation, multiplication, the administration of the glory of God. But to get there, we have to let the wind get in the middle of our choices. Does the Holy Spirit have right, the legal right from you to get in the middle of your choices? Now, we all say that so quickly and we high five each other and we go, amen, God is the God of my life and He can make my choices. And that's wonderful and that's beautiful in church, and half of us are lying. Because when God comes in the middle of your choices and He says your choice is not His choice, how quickly do you let go? Because the test of whether or not God is your King, not your Savior, your King. Salvation is, I found out there's a hell that I don't want, and I said, please save me. Lordship is, I found out there's some stuff I want, and I said, please take over. That's different. Lordship means He gets to filter my choices. Salvation is, He saved me from a destiny that was never mine anyway. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. So he didn't make me for hell. So when I met Jesus and I bowed to him, he saved me from a destiny that should have never been mine. Adam introduced you to a place you should have never gone into. But now lordship is about, do I let him say no to my choices? Ooh. Ooh. So, you know, we're just talking. And I know it seems like this is the track I'm on right now, but I'll tell you why I'm on it. Because we're in an hour where we have decided, most of the world right now has decided to create their own truth. Most have decided that if they don't like what the Bible says, they just find a version of the Bible that says what they want. So all of us have 17 different versions of the Bible on our coffee table. And when we read a scripture or a passage that doesn't line up with what makes us comfortable, we go find the passage that says it in a really sweet, loving, kissable way. And we go, see, we went and edited enough times that somebody finally said it nicely. So we've learned to edit God until God looks like us. And we put the face of God through enough filters that he looks like a happy man. Instead of putting us through the filter so we look like a transformed son of God. So we're looking less like him and making him look more like us. And in the midst of all the filters, we have forgotten what he looks like. So God says, I don't need you to edit me. I don't need you to filter me. How many filters do you have on your phone? I've got like 20. You are on your phone now. Every time your phone does an update, it has a new filter. And so now you can take a picture and you've got, you know, your skin is brighter or lighter. You take a picture and all your wrinkles disappear. You take a picture and you look like, you know, your mama met your daddy in the islands and then found somebody over in Ireland and married somebody down in Jamaica. And then you got, we're like, I don't know where that skin tone came from. That's a filter. Because I run into people and I'm like, now your picture looked like you had a suntan. You ain't been outside in 9 years. I was going to preach a few weeks ago, got to the church, and the person picking me up from the airport, this couple, and they're like, well, we sent our picture. And when I'm walking out the airport, I'm looking around. I literally walked past the car. I walked past their car, and I got a gift of discernment, and even the Holy Ghost could not reveal. I'm like, Holy Ghost, why'd you let me walk past him? He said, that don't look like that picture, that don't. I saw the same picture you saw, and that don't look like that picture. I mean, come on, let's tell the truth. Some of y'all know your Facebook picture is 20 years old. It's good to have a memory, but every now and then we just lying. So what we've learned to do is out of our orphan spirits, broken hearts, and shame that we haven't let go of, is we've decided to make a God we can handle. So we've edited the face of Jesus, and we've shaved off the character of God. We've diminished his sovereignty, exalted instability, and made God look just like a great big man with power so that we look so much like him we don't have to change. So we've diminished the power of sovereignty, which means we have edited the value of sonship. So that now when he wants to lead us by still waters, we don't have to follow, because wherever you're leading me can't be much better than where I am, because I've made you look like me already. But when you encounter the true and living God and you look into his face, there is a glory so deep, so bright, and so burning that everything in you says, whatever it costs me, make me like you. When you hear the voice of the God of heaven and earth, unfiltered by fear and untouched by shame, his voice echoes down into your DNA, shatters the chains of your past, rewrites your future, breaks the orphan spirit, and in the sound of his voice, in the midst of many waters, you find your identity. So God is saying to us, to become who you really are, you have to see who I really am. And you have to let me lead you. Where would God lead you if you let him? What would your life look like if you just kept saying, yes, Lord? Where would God take you into your future if you stopped giving him ideas? Most of our prayer lives are just a list of suggestions anyway. We just spend 30 minutes telling God what we think he should do. And God goes, now after you've given me all your suggestions, we're going this way. After you've told me what you don't want to do, we're going this way. After you tell me who you don't like and what you don't like and why it costs too much and why you don't feel like you should bow in front of those people and yield and forgive, and while you're telling me the list of what they did wrong to you, after all that is done, we're going this way. Because God is not going to stop being God because it makes you uncomfortable. I'll never forget the day. I'm going to read a scripture and then I'll be done. I'm going to read a scripture then. Because I could just stand up here and keep preaching and talking, but I'm not going to do that to you. Not today. Not today. I remember the day when the Lord visited me and it messed my life up. It really did. It messed my life up. You know, you have those divine moments when God just shows up in your life and you're like, we were cool, we were good, and then you did this God thing. Like you thought you understood him, you were happy with God, God is happy with you, and then he shows up and just says, and now I have to throw you on an altar. You were happy with all your choices. You thought everybody was going to celebrate the fact that you're called and anointed, and people were going to, yes, there they come, they're the Lord's chosen. And then the Lord says, oh, I've got some enemies for you. And so I remember I was going through a season and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll be glad when this is over. And the Lord said, and when will that be? I said, well, you said we're going to nations and there's nations and you know, we need some work this out. I just need you to work this out. And the Lord said, I am. And me working it out means this storm will not end anytime soon. I said, why? He said, because you're asking for it to end. And if you can't live with me in the storm, then you haven't graduated the storm. So I'm going to leave you into the storm until you find peace in the storm. Sometimes when he leads you by the still waters are in the middle of a boat that's taking on water. And while the ship was rocking, and while the disciples were watching the waves saying, carest thou not that we perish, Jesus was asleep in the boat. Somebody found still water. Jesus was resting his head in the middle of a storm, because the storm is not what troubles you. It's your lack of trust in God. So Jesus said, it is not the absence of the storm that equals peace. It is the removal of fear from you that brings peace. You should have peace in any situation. in the middle of the storm, right after the doctor gave you a bad report, with no money in the bank, when everybody around you is speaking evil and lies, you should be able to have peace. It is not the storm that stole your peace. It is not trusting God. So God is growing us. So I want to talk about just three scriptures that tie in with where we're going. And then we're just going to pray. Look at somebody and say, the wind is blowing. Look on the other side. The wind is blowing. When we entered into this year, as the Lord often talks about a prophetic word for the year, I was going to teach this tonight in the class. And then when Patrick stood up and began to talk, I'm like, Lord. And the Lord said, no, go there now. Tonight we're going to talk about understanding how to be kings. We're going to teach in depth how to be a king and how to operate from that kingship. It's that office of dominion, the place of dominion that God has called many of us to. So that's where we're digging in tonight. And if you're already in class, we're going to have a phenomenal time. If you're called to leadership or government, you need to get in the class, because we're going to unlock some keys to how do you look like a king, operate as a king, and minister from that place. Dominion is completely different than what most of us think. We need to dig into it. Daniel 2:35. Daniel 2:35. So whenever we enter into a season and we're asking God what the season is, the Lord often will speak to me and he will take whatever that year is and he tells me to look up the word that correlates to that year. Now, I love how many times we've heard the prophets teach on this is the year of the open door. And it is, but it's more than that. Because the year is the same for everybody. For the prophetic people, what does it mean? Not just where are we? A moment in time is not a revelation. A moment in time is not a revelation. It's a location. A revelation is what do I do now that we've stepped into that time? So for many of us, most of the prophets whom I love are always looking at what the calendar says, and we only reveal what the calendar is saying. But the calendar is for the whole earth. So that is the juxtaposition of where the kingdom is moving in the earth at this time. It doesn't tell me how to correlate. It doesn't tell me how to connect. Doesn't tell me what to do. So the prophetic is supposed to reveal times and seasons, what Israel should do now that we've entered the calendar. So we're in a moment now where God is telling us, do you know what to do now that the season has changed? So in this hour of the open door, what are we supposed to do? Let's dig into it. Okay. Daniel 2:35. The word that correlates for this hour we're in is chaff. Chaff. And I'm going to show it to you in scripture. Ooh, we're going to have fun. We're going to do it quick, but we're going to have fun. Because I heard there's barbecue coming, so. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. Daniel 2:35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff, say chaff, of the summer threshing floors, and the wind, say wind, carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So the year that we entered into, going all the way back to September of last year, the Jewish year we entered into, of course, was 5784. Now, I've been teaching on this for months, but coming here in such a powerful prophetic apostolic house, I want to unlock it and dig in just a little bit more. So the year is 5784. Well, 5784 in the Hebrew, in scripture, correlates to the word chaff. Hebrew 5784. It correlates to the word chaff. It is the Hebrew word or. O-O-R, or. And it means chaff. It's found three times in scripture. So the first revelation of this we see, it's chaff, but because it is a reference or a metaphor, it's not talking about actual chaff. This is why we're going somewhere. So it speaks of that which irritates, blocks, and distorts vision. that which irritates, blocks, and distorts vision. For the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, when it was broken to pieces, became like chaff. It's not chaff, becomes like chaff. So the word ore, 5784 in Hebrew, speaks of metaphorically that which has been something of value, that once it has been destroyed, it messes with your vision. Let's keep going. Isaiah 29:5. I want to give these to you, and then I'm going to teach you just for a minute. Isaiah 29:5. This is so good. Isaiah 29:5. Let's start at verse 4, then we're going to go down. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust. Thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground. Thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be like chaff. Like chaff that passes away, yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Now hold on to that one. Hold on. So you've got Daniel 2:35, which speaks of the generations and the nations that were of great value, that once God shook them, they became a distortion, a blockage, and an irritant to the vision. Isaiah 29:5, he speaks and he's talking about the siege of Jerusalem, and when Jerusalem is shaken, when the people of God were shaken, he says the first thing that's going to be dealt with, he said, is you've been hearing, moving, listening to a wrong spirit, a familiar spirit up out of the dust. And when I deal with the strong and mighty ones that have been attacking the house of God, as I'm dealing with it, it's going to mess with your vision. This is good already. Psalm 1:4. Psalm 1:4. And then I'm just going to teach. Psalm 1:4. Now, you know this passage. Let's go back to 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. So now the three places where this shows up in Scripture, the third reference point is the ungodly. The ungodly. Now he doesn't say just the wicked, the ungodly. This is important. The ungodly are those that are morally corrupt. Morally corrupt. But why do you call them ungodly? Because they've been close to or operating around the godly. So you're making a distinction. So God says this last one, the ungodly are not so. In other words, the godly shall be stable, immovable. Their leaf shall bring forth. Their root is established. They are attached to the root structure of God. They are drinking from the waters of eternity. They have the wind of the Spirit blowing in their branches. They are producing fruit that goes generation to generation. But those that will not let the root structure of God anchor them to the water of the Spirit, those who are operating next to the godly, but their moral structure is corrupt, they shall become like chaff. So in this year where chaff, 5784, in this year where chaff is one of the things he's revealing to us, the Lord said to me, tell my people the prophetic generation, wherever you go, and it's a prophetic apostolic house, tell them to not be moved as I'm shaking the ungodly, as I'm shaking those who have disconnected from the root structure of my word, as I'm shaking those who have decided to build their own kingdoms, as I'm shaking those who have forgotten to stay in the water of the Spirit, do not be distracted. Why? Because when God begins to shake, the first thing that happens to most of us is we're so busy watching what God is doing over here that our vision gets messed up. So now prophets cannot perceive the future because we're so busy looking over here. What's going to happen with that church? What's going to happen with that ministry? Why is that person being exposed? Why is that coming down? What does that have to do with your destiny? What does that have to do with your assignment? Your call in God is so rich, so deep, so big. You should be so focused on God that it might break your heart, but it doesn't stop my momentum. So we're in the hour where the Lord is saying, don't get distracted. Because all year long, stuff is coming to mess with your vision. Oh, everything that's happening on the world stage right now is something. It's chaff. It's irritation. It's distraction. It's distortion. It's stuff messing with truth. You know what God spoke to you, and then you sat around and talked to everybody else whose root structures are being shaken. And now you're afraid like they're afraid. But you have no reason to be afraid. You're planted by the waters. You have no reason to be nervous. You're under the shadow of the Almighty. So God is saying to us in this season where he's dealing, where he's shaking those that thought they were gold and silver and brass, where he's shaking those who thought their value was greater than their obedience, where he's shaking those who got disconnected from the foundation of God because they were building their own palaces, their own kingdoms. God said, I need you to not be distracted. Why? Because if the prophets lose hope, what shall the people do? So as prophetic voices, we cannot lose hope. I'm going to say this to you. You do not have permission to live depressed. You don't. Because as those that carry the living grace of God and carry the word of God, if you succumb to the distortion of the day, if you yield to the chaff that's blocking people's vision, if you lose your momentum and your focus, everybody connected to you is moving at the speed of your choices. So when you stop going forward, they are stuck automatically. So God is saying to us, clear your vision. Clear your vision. Come on, do that with me. Like your hand is a windshield wiper. Just come on, clear your vision. Clear your vision. This is an hour where the Lord is saying to us, number one, get rid of all your hero worship. All hero worship has to die. We have no idols in the kingdom of God. We have no one we celebrate more than Jesus Christ. He is the epitome. He is the top. He is the best. He is the celebration. He is the prize. He is the cake with the candle and the icing. He is the three scoops of butter pecan with some strawberry on the side. He is the butter, the cream, and the biscuits. He is the gravy with the chunks of sausage. He is the extra crispy bacon with the good potatoes on the side. He is everything. He's my all and all. So God is calling us as a prophetic people to return back to our first position. The first position of a prophet is not standing prophesying. It's bowing in worship. The first position of every prophet is to bow. That is your first position. So to every prophetic voice, to every apostolic authority, to every teaching anointing, to every entrepreneur, to every builder and thinker, your first position in the kingdom of God is bowing. Kiss the feet of the Almighty. The first way to protect your vision is if I'm bowing, I can't see all this anyway. So he's calling us back to bow. Bowing. Oh, what a protected place to bow at his feet. What power he bestows to bow at his feet. You're underneath his garments. He throws his skirts over you. Healing is in the hem of his garment. Power is under the sound of his voice. You're at the throne with angels surrounding you. There is no weapon formed that can get near you when you're bowing. So I say to all of us, the first thing God is calling us back to do is bow. In every place in your life where you're not bowing, bow. In every place where you're leading yourself, bow. In every place where you're more right than righteous, bow. The second thing that we have to recover and return to in this season of distraction and distortion. Number one, no idols. No idols. No idols. Let me say this before I move on. Do you know what is amazing about an idol? Is that you become like the thing you worship. Many of us have become like the prophets we worship. We become like the ministries we idolize. And we've stopped becoming like Jesus. You can tell me everything your favorite prophet said, but you can't tell me what the Holy Ghost told you. You can quote the last five things put out on the internet by your prophetic, whatever group you're reading, or the apostolic network you're part of, or the pastor from another nation who you think is amazing. You can quote them, but you can't tell me five scriptures that God has spoken to you while you're in prayer over your children. Whoever you listen to the most is the voice you follow. Who are you listening to? Whose image are you being changed into? Oh, I love the prophetic. I spend my life doing this. But I've never had a prophet I love more than Jesus. Never. Never. I love the apostolic. I was trained by apostles in Africa, around the world. I was trained by people who built networks and raised up colleges and schools and built hospitals and changed cities. But I've never had an apostle I valued so much that I couldn't see if they were going in the wrong direction. Because when you decide to go in a direction that's not God, I follow you as you follow Christ. I'm amazed that we have a generation now that becomes shipwrecked because your heroes fall. Because you heard some, whether it be a lie or truth, you heard something negative on your favorite hero, and now you can't gather with the saints. You can't lift your hands. You suddenly don't trust the word of the Lord. Now you're doubting all prophets and prophetic ministry because your hero messed up. Then your hope was not built on Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. Oh, where are the saints that know it? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So we've got to remind ourselves, my hope is Jesus. Everybody else is a voice. He's the voice. I'm glad you're talking for him, but when you talk crazy, I can go to him for myself. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don't be distracted. Don't get messed up. Don't let your vision get messed up. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, stick with Jesus. My aunt told me growing up, and again, I've only got to read one more scripture and then I'm going to be done. We're going to pray for you. My aunt told me growing up, when a church that we adored, they were having revival and touching so many cities, and the church got into trouble. I was sitting at the dinner table and I said to her, I can't believe that happened. I was 17 or 18. I said, I can't believe that happened. And I just don't know if I can trust. And she looks at me, she said, before you say that dumb thing. I said, what do you mean? She said, who do we trust? I said, well, who do we trust? I said, in the Lord. She said, that's it. And then she looked at me. She said, it's not God's fault that you misplaced your trust. I will trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, he's an anchor. He's a foundation. He's a rock of refuge. He's the safe harbor in the storm. He'll keep you when the world is sinking. He'll lift you when everybody else runs. He'll comfort you when trouble is all around you. He'll rock you in the middle of the night when friends don't answer the phone call. He'll breathe life into you when death is close by. He'll give you hope when sorrow is loud. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Don't ever forget that. He's your hope. He's your rock. So get rid of idol worship. Don't have heroes that are bigger in your eyes than Jesus. The second, purify your ear. Purify your ear. In this season where we're getting distracted and distorted, purify your ear. What does that mean? Why do you have 30 voices you listen to? Come on, I know I'm causing trouble, but I mean to. This is not accidental. I came to cause trouble. You see, you can't hear clearly if you hear everything. So in this hour we live in, I'm going to say this, and please don't get mad unless you want to get mad. And if you want to get mad, please get mad. The Bible says, drink from thine own well. Draw water from thine own cistern. What does that mean? In the prophetic, you are supposed to know where your fountain is. The call that's upon you, the destiny God has given you, you're supposed to connect with like oil, so that the grace on you can be strengthened and the gift in you can be sharpened. Because many times we don't realize that, we don't connect with like oil. So we spend our time looking for someone that excites us. So because my ear is itching, I look for new voices every month. I need a new voice. Because the teachers I'm listening to keep saying the same thing. Because I don't realize their job is to sharpen me. Because they're sharpening me, they're not supposed to show up with new revelation every 2 weeks. They're supposed to say the same thing because my intellect says I got it after 6 weeks. But my emotions have revealed I still don't understand. So I need to hear it again and again and again and again, because every time I hear it, it's cutting into another level of my flesh and it's going deeper into my soul. So what I've gotten tired of hearing after 6 weeks, God knows it may take me 6 years to get it. So that's why when God connects you to prophetic apostolic voices, you have to be willing to stay there even when your flesh says, I've learned enough, I've heard enough, let's move on, this is getting boring. But you're not staying there to be excited, you're staying there to be ignited. So until the teaching goes deep enough within you that you can manifest the same level they carry, don't move. That's the difference between being a spectator and a disciple. Can you yield to the oil that's on the people God put to lead you, to teach you, to impart to you? Can you yield to it even when your brain says, I'm already there? I'm maturer than this. I'm deeper than this. I think I know more than this. Are you humble enough to stay and listen even though you think you already got it? Because if we're not, you will always leave destiny too soon. And when you leave destiny too soon, you abdicate your legacy. I remember the apostle who was training me. And are we good for about 15, 20 more minutes? Okay. I remember the apostle who was training me. I really thought I was smarter than he was at one point. I thought I was deep. All the books he gave us, I had read them. I was studying it. Then we would go to a meeting, and he would tell me to minister, and I'm flowing in the prophetic. And he didn't really give many prophetic words. And I'm up here prophesying like a house on fire, just to the whole room. And the Lord says to you, and to you, and to you. And people are like, that's the word of the Lord. And then we'd leave, and I'm looking at him going, bless you, man of God. Thank you, but yes. And then we'd go back, and he'd get the same scripture that he was using for 2 years. And he'd say, okay, we're going to open this up and we're going to read it again. And in the back of my mind, I thought, here we go again. I'm tired of this same passage. And then another 6 months passed, and we would be having a meal and we would be sitting at lunch, and he would ask the same questions that he'd been asking for years. And I thought, he doesn't even listen. I've answered this question so many times. And what happened was, in the midst of this, one of the other young men who was being discipled, he got offended, and he actually said what I was thinking. Now, it might roll around in here, but it ain't coming out. I might be dumb, but at least I ain't vocal. Some of y'all need to work on that second part. We didn't know you had an issue till you spoke. Okay. And so, I'll never forget that evening. He speaks up, the other young man, and he says, frankly, I think we're deeper than this already. He said, all you do is keep going over the same four scriptures. And we've been doing this for 2.5 years. And it was 18 of us. And we all the other of us, we all got to turn our head. And I'm looking across the room and I'm thinking, hey, God bless you. I'm like, at least Derek said what the rest of us was thinking. And I'll never forget. The man of God looked at him and he said, okay. Then don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and do whatever that God's told you to do. Just go. Go be blessed. And so he left. He, for about 3 months, he had all these preaching engagements because all these doors have been open. He goes. 3.5 months into it, it's like he hit a wall. He ran out of oil. Why? Because you're operating under somebody else's grace, but you thought it was yours. Because when someone is teaching you, shepherding you, discipling you, the grace on them is extended to you. And as long as you stay humble, 12 disciples, you operate under the glory that's on Jesus. As long as you're in the camp prophesying, you're under the oil that's on Moses. And what happens to many of us is we make the assumption that what's on us because we're part of a community is actually ours. But it doesn't become yours till you complete the process of humility. So we step out from under the covering of sonship, out from under that place of being shepherded, out from being under a good pastor and a good leader, out from being underneath a prophet or apostle who's training you, and we step out and say, I'm ready to do it on my own. And by the time you realize you've run out of the grace that was bestowed to you, you now are in the middle of a battle you can't win, because you're working with oil that wasn't yours. The gift was yours. The grace was not. Is this helping anybody? Is this making sense? See, the gift is yours. The gift of God was in you. The grace is extended. The oil flows down. So when you stay in proper order, the more oil flows on you until one day your garments are soaked and it becomes yours. But when you step out of position too soon, you're out of order. Oh, we don't even teach on this stuff anymore. So when I saw it, he said, go ahead. He looked around the room and said, does anybody else feel that way? And I heard the Holy Ghost say, don't say nothing dumb. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't you say it. Don't you say it. So the rest of us said, no, we don't feel like that. Because I thought, I want to see what happened. Let's see. 3.5 months later, all that grace and glory that was showing up just started to diminish. It got less and less and less. Now over here, 3.5 months into us staying in position, something broke. And I remember the service when we were walking in, and he looks at me and he says, it's yours. Go. I said, what? He said, go. He said, the grace that you've received these last 3 years shall never lift from you again. I stood up in that service, and all of a sudden, miracles began to hit the room. And I looked back. Larry was sitting against the wall. Larry Drone, God bless him. He may see this service. He's in Greensboro, North Carolina, still raising up men and women of God. And he was sitting against the wall, and he said, go. And he got up and walked off the platform. He said, it's yours now. Why? You completed the season of sonship. Now you have right to what was on me. Now it's yours. In this hour, you cannot have 30 voices. Because what is supposed to descend upon your life is connected to one or two or three. And you can't receive the full impartation because you're drinking from 30 different locations. And how do we know you're drinking from too many sources? You've got 30 different prophets quoted on your page. You got a prophet from Africa, one from South America, one from India. You got somebody you had to translate. You don't even know if that's what they said. So when you're drinking from too many wells, your roots never grow deep. Where did God tell you to drink from? Draw from there. Become stable, become strong. Then you have legal right after a while to say, whatever they have, God put it on me too. And it starts to manifest. Is this helping anybody? All right. Last piece that goes with it. If you're not going to be distracted and distorted in your vision, discern the truth and throw away the lie. In this hour, you've got to lean into the Holy Spirit's discernment. The Word of God has to be the foundation that you read and understand everything from. So if it doesn't line up with the Word, you have to throw it away. You have to throw it away. You cannot hold on to, you cannot give permission to, you cannot sit around and chew on something that is a lie. Because the Spirit of truth cannot abide in you if you like lies. Woo. The Bible says something amazing. There's a verse that says, the reason that a lie can come to you is because you already have a lie in you. For the Bible scholars, I mean, y'all know that. Is that not in the Word? Okay. He says in the Word, he says the reason that the lie comes to you is because you already had a lie in you. We're in a moment now in time where God is purifying the prophetic. He's purifying the house of God. And God is saying to us, if we're going to prophesy to nations, if we're going to prophesy to generations, if we're going to speak over that which is to come, if we're going to prophesy the future of the next 50 years, we cannot mix the mud of lies into the purity of the prophetic. What does that mean? All your political leanings, you have the right to your politics, but don't call it a prophecy. Whatever your politics are, you have the right to them because it's a democratic society. But don't you dare call that prophetic political stuff the same thing. It is not. God speaks about government and the future of generations. God does not sit back and argue about who's supposed to be chosen to lead a nation. It's never showed up in the book. And no matter how much you might like it, what you like is not the same as what he loves. What he loves is a tongue that is pure and lips that are clean. And you cannot speak to a generation to command the future of a generation if you are allowing other people to infect your ears and lead your tongue. Your tongue belongs to the Lord. Say what he said and nothing else. Say like he said it and nothing else. God loves everybody. He wants souls to be saved. He brings down unrighteous systems. He shakes wickedness from high places. But understand it, God is not fighting people. And if the prophets are fighting people, you've lowered yourself from your God-given position. I had a gentleman reach out to us who was running for office. And he asked me, he said, can you pray for me? I said, sure. And I'm praying for him. They sent a message through a secretary who sent it through somebody else. So by the time we finally connected, that's when I'm like, oh, this is real. This is okay. And so we're communicating. And as we're communicating, please don't let anyone know. And I never use the name. And so this was the first time that it happened. And I'm communicating, I'm praying. And then because two of the prophetic words came to pass, they then reached out and said, can you come to an event we're doing? I said, no. No. Well, the Lord keeps telling you what's going to happen. Can you come to the event? We want you at the event. No. Have you lost your mind? That's literally what I wrote him back. I said, have you lost your mind? Do you even understand what a prophet is? I said, I am in position from God, not from you. And I will not stand beside you publicly to give value to your choices. My job is to speak to you what God is saying, not get people to vote for you. I said, if you win, it's because of your political party. But it won't be because you've leveraged my prophetic anointing. Prophets speak to government, not politics. The moment I get on a platform or I publicly choose one over the other, I lose the right to speak to the rest of the platforms. God may have brought one down, shook another to the core, caused one to bow their knee through a prophetic encounter. But the moment I choose one above another, I have now told the rest of them, don't ever call me for a word. And if you look at scripture, the most wicked kings sought out prophets. Why? Because we know you will say what the Lord says. So now let me ask you, can every politician in your city, in the state, in the nation Could they reach out to you and look at the history of what you've posted, what you've said, and what they've heard from your group? Could they trust that you would say the word of the Lord? Or have you already built a history of bias where you cannot be God's voice because you've already released political anger? See, we have to realize as prophets, we're talking about God changing the nation, which means they need your voice. But to need your voice, they have to make space for you, because it's not God's platform they're giving you, it's their platform. So for them to invite you to a platform, they have to trust you. To trust you, they have to believe you will not hurt them on purpose. So when they research your history, does your history say to them, they may not agree with my politics, but they won't come after me personally? They will say what the Lord is saying. See, this is the conduct before kings. Prophets had to understand the conduct before kings. If you're going to stand before a king, when you go before a king, you have to recognize they are a king. You then have to remind them you're coming from a different kingdom. So when you stand before them as a representative from another kingdom, if you start out with dishonor, you disqualify your voice. So God is calling us in this hour to cleanse our vision, because we need prophets to speak to this nation more than ever before. But we're having less and less opportunity because we've gathered into caves and decided who we're going to support and who we won't. Rather than bowing on our knees saying, God, tell us how to say it in such a way we can move the needle of a nation in your direction. I hope this is helping somebody. We were in Samoa. And in Samoa, Pastor Jim Bain was with me. They came to us after we had done a set of meetings. God had healed and moved in such a great way. And they said to us, can you come to this man's house? His daughter is full of devils. Sure. And so the two of us are, they're picking us up. We're getting this beautiful car. We're sitting in the back of the car. We're driving through this glorious land. We get onto this estate. I mean, just huge. Just, and all of these people working on the land for this man. And we did not know that he was one of their top politicians. Didn't know who he was. They just asked us to go. We get into this big old house, and we're walking through the house and we see a room, and this room has a deadbolt on the outside of the door. When they open up the door, it looks like an animal has clawed all the walls. The daughter, full of demons, would begin to scratch the wall and scream all night long. And they had taken her to different hospitals, and no matter how much she was medicated, she would fight and bite and draw blood from people. Now they took her into their home and locked her in the room because they didn't want anybody to know that this very famous politician, his daughter, had lost her mind. So we're in the room, and this man is standing here, and all of his people who work with him, his assistant, his other assistants, these people who are, and we're standing there. And he begins to tell us the problem with his daughter. And finally, Pastor Jim looks at him and says, we've heard you talk enough. Can we pray? He said, well, I need to prepare you because she leaps at people. She jumps at people. And I began to laugh. I said, she will not take a step toward us. I'm not concerned. I said, the Lord told us to come. She's going to get free. And we're in the house, and they open up the door and bring her out, and she's looking at the ground and she's grunting and making noise. And I said to him, you're very well known in this nation, yes. And you've sought help, yes. Have you called the other preachers? He said, I've asked every preacher I know to come here. He said, and when they come after a quick prayer and nothing changes, they then turn around and tell me what they need. Because they're talking to the top politician. So they make their request known. My church wants to build on this property. We want to do this. We want this. Can you help us? He said, and so the people I went to for help were only interested in asking me for a favor. The girl is in front of us. We're sitting down talking, and she's moving back and forth on the ground, and we're just talking. He says to me, y'all are just talking while she's, don't worry about her. It's just a devil. Don't worry about her. It's a devil. And so we kept talking and we were asking questions. And we said, are you ready now? And his wife is weeping and the whole room is full of people. Yes, okay. Girl, in the name of Jesus. And she stopped. I command your mind to hear me. Sit up. And she sits up on the floor. Jim goes over and puts his hand on her head. And he began to pray in the spirit. And all of a sudden she starts twitching. I love the Holy Ghost. Devil, in the name of Jesus, this generational bondage that's gone from grandmother to mother now to her. We see you. And the witchcraft that gave her permission. And she begins to scream, shut up. She stops screaming. He said, that's the first time she stopped screaming. I said, because you're talking to her. Talk to it. Said, now come out of her. Spirit comes out. She starts to laugh and she looks around. She says, oh, Dad. And he looks at us. He says, what happened? I said, that's deliverance. Now we're getting ready to leave the house and he's asking us, what can I do for you? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Can I do anything for the churches that? Nope, nothing. What do y'all want? Nothing. God forgive me, my habit. I said, you had those little kind of coconut things you gave us for me. I said, can I take a bag of those back to the hotel? He said, yeah, we've got extras. I said, give me a bag of them. I got a bag of coconut stuff underneath my arm, and we had some pineapple stuff. And Jim looks at me. He says, you had to ask for food. I said, just get in the car, Jim. Just... Now, his word, hear this, his word was, why was this different? He said, it's like y'all came from a different kingdom. And we said, well, we did. You've got to figure out in your mind and in your spirit, you are not a normal person. You are not an American Christian. You are not a Republican Christian. You are not a Democratic Christian. You are not somebody looking for a voice in the earth. You are the voice of God in the earth bringing transformation, and the atmosphere has to obey you. But you have to believe that. The power of God is waiting on you. The authority of God is sitting in you. The glory of God is inside you. You must believe that first. The atmosphere will follow your belief. Not your words, your belief. And in this hour of distraction and voices and confusion and lies and innuendo, the kingdom has to be stable. Your voices have to be anchored in the power of God. So that when we stand up and say, that's enough, devil, he has to obey you. So when you speak over your children, that's enough, come out of them, it has to obey you. But it won't change till you're convinced. 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 In the depth of your soul, in the recesses of your mind, you must be convinced that your voice has the power of God to change things. You must be convinced. If you don't believe what you say will come to pass, it will not. You must be convinced. What do you believe? Oh, my. I'm convinced. It's too late for me. If you were going to get me to doubt God, you should have showed up a whole lot of years before now. It's too late for me. I'm convinced that God is God. My last word. Some of us have got to break free from the tragedies we have survived. Because in this hour of chaff, stuff messing with you, the last chaff that's messing with some of us is the things that didn't work in the past, the tragedies, the traumas. And it left a mark on our soul to where it's got one little grain of doubt that we can't get rid of. Because we believe God for healing, but then we had a family member that wasn't healed. And we can't let that go. We believe God for prosperity, but then we went bankrupt, and we can't let that go. We believe God to give us victory, and then it didn't break, and we went through some trauma, and we can't let that go. And so our past is talking louder than his provision. And we're trapped in the circle of thought. Well, I know God is good, but that happened to me. I know God is a healer, but that didn't get healed. I know God is for me, but why didn't he answer me when I prayed for this? And that one little grain of doubt is holding you hostage so that the miracles you used to see or the glory you used to walk in or the healing that belongs to you can't manifest because you're stuck in your mind. And faith needs your conviction. And because you can't be convinced, because somewhere you keep saying, God, where were you? And if you don't give that back to God, you cannot get past that trauma. I remember when a dear friend of mine was dying. We had prayed and laid hands and cried out and prayed and laid hands. Prayed for them. I had to go out of the country, went to the Philippines. While I was on the plane flying to the Philippines, they died. We had a prayer team praying. We had people in the hospital. And I remember I said to the Lord when I landed, I said, I can't believe you. I said, we've laid hands on hundreds of people with the same condition and you healed them and you let them die. And the Lord didn't say a word to me. I came back. They were doing the funeral. And I was getting ready for the funeral. And I was struggling with it. And I said, Lord, I can't believe you. The Lord let me complain. And when I finished complaining, the Lord visited me in the middle of the night. Woke me up and said, get out of this bed. I know you only hear the Jesus that walks in with flowers and rainbows and kisses your forehead. I got that New Testament Jesus who flips tables. So he walked in my bedroom and said, get out of that bed. And I woke up. I said, yes, Lord. He said, get out of your bed. Get on your knees. I got on my knees by the bed. He said, who do you think you are? Talking to me like you're God. He said, I am still God. You don't know what they asked me. You don't know what was going on in their heart. You don't know what they prayed for. You don't know what I'm going to do in 20 years with that sacrifice. But you're so busy thinking about what you lost, you can't hear me. You are not God. You are my servant. I began to weep like a baby. And the Lord said, and if you don't let this go, miracles will stop flowing for you because you're killing your faith. I said, what? He said, your grief is killing your faith. I laid on the floor and wept until I couldn't weep anymore. And I finally got up. I said, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how to let this go, but I trust you. Help me let it go. And all of a sudden, I began to hear the voice of God, and I just began to celebrate him and thank him. And literally, it was several weeks. We were doing services, and I didn't see any healings, no miracles, no breakthrough. And I remembered what the Lord said. My grief was killing my faith. And I sat down one evening, get rid of the chaff. I sat down one evening, I said, Lord, how do I get rid of this? He said, write a letter and tell them goodbye and celebrate their going home. I don't know why I'm telling this. I never tell this story. I've never told this story publicly, not this part. For some of you in this room, it's the season where you've got to come out of your grief, because your grief is messing up your vision. And I sat down and wrote that letter, and I began to say, I thank God for the years that we were friends, that we traveled to nations, that we saw miracles. But I give God glory that you are standing before his throne now, and you are dancing in a new body, and you are singing with healed body. I thank God that you are now in the place you always desired to be. So goodbye, my friend. Be well. And then I finished the letter by saying, so God, I trust you. And I am sorry that I let my emotions be louder than my spirit. I give it back to you now. 3 days later, I got up to speak and the miracles started to hit again. I said, Lord, he said, you just had to get past your soul. God wants to restore vision to some in this room. And it's time for you to let the last season go. You've held on to grief. You've held on to fear. You've had people who you respected more than you respected the Holy Spirit. And God is saying in all those places, now it's time to let all that go. So we're just going to take a moment and pray over a couple of things. Would you just bow your heads? I'm going to call out a couple things. And when it's you, just lift up your hand. Yeah. Come on. We can't get free till we get honest. That's why I'm asking you to bow your heads. It's nobody else's business. It's between you and God. So first of all, in this room, in this season, if you know what's been slowing you down is you have not been at his feet. In the busyness of life, you have not been spending time just at his feet so that his voice can be clear. I want you to just lift up your hand. Amen. Then we're going to pray together. Everybody, let's pray together, but keep your hand up. Father, I yield to you. I return my life to your feet. I am your servant. I am your child. And I love your presence. Tune my ear to your voice. Let the joy of worship and the beauty of intimacy, let it return in power that I might hear you and walk into the next season. In Jesus' name, amen. The next thing we're going to pray for right now in this room, if you know the Lord has been delivering you from, you've got favorite preachers or prophets, or, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to them. It doesn't mean you shouldn't respect them. But you know you can look back through the message and say you may have put them in too high of an esteem. I want you to just lift your hand. And we're just going to release that. Amen. It's not about them. It's just a heart issue. So, Father, right now, let's pray together. Father, I bless those who were teaching me. I bless the voices you put in my life. But I return to the word of the Lord. Let your word and your spirit be the loudest voice in my ears. Lead me, direct me, so that victory may be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're almost done. Come on. Don't fade out now. We got another one. As I was teaching, Let's touch on this. If you've had too many voices, you've just got this inundation. You listen to everything. And you feel like, I know God speaks to me, but I'm just in this place of where it's almost confusing. Because one prophet says this, another prophet says this, so what I need is clarity. If you're in the time where you need clarity, I want you to just lift up your hand. Amen. Good. Let's all pray together. Lord, I've had too many voices in my ears. So I come to you. Filter, cleanse, clarify all the voices. Let me only hear what is pure, what is righteous, and what is you, that I might walk forward in freedom and release your power everywhere I go. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, last of all, if you know it's grief or trauma that's kind of held you, it's been holding you, it's been blocking you from going forward, that you know you heard God sometimes clearer in the past than now, but there was some trauma that happened, some tragedy, some moment in your life where something broke and didn't work, and it's left you in that place where you can't trust like you trusted before. Come on, put that hand up. Now, right now, let's all pray together. Father, you're a good father. You love me. You're healing me right now. So I give you everything. The good days and the bad days. The victories and the tragedies. And now, Lord, I ask you, heal my heart. Restore my emotions. Let me trust you again in the deep place, that I might walk with you from glory to glory and faith to faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you. You're in this place right now. We thank you. We thank you. Breath of God, come now. We thank you. Spirit of God, breathe upon your sons and daughters. We thank you. Let a fresh wind blow upon us. May your breath move upon the grain. May your breath move through the wheat. Hey, everything that was blocking our vision, blow it away. Let us see clearly. Let us see with new passion, new clarity, new victory. Oh, Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. You're here now, restoring us. You're making us whole again. We lift up our hands to you and say, breathe upon my heart. Breathe upon our lives. Let the fresh wind of God come now. Ah, breathe, Papa. Your children love you. Breathe, Papa. We trust you more than anything else. Breathe, Father. Restore. Restore. Make whole. Breathe. Breathe. Thank you now. We thank you now. We thank you now. Burdens be lifted. We thank you now. Stress break now. We thank you now. Fear lift and not return. We thank you now. Sicknesses, be broken, be healed now. We thank you now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. 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 Oh, just let him rest for a second. Let him rest. I'm almost done. Just let him rest. We thank you for healing right now. All across this room, whatever your condition, whatever your problem, put your hand where the problem was. As he's restoring our souls, as he's healing our vision, so now let him heal your body. Father, we thank you for your healing presence in this room. You are here. You're a good God. You're a good Father. So in the name of Jesus, we say to all sickness and disease, all infirmity, this moment you have no right. This moment your permission is revoked. In the name of Jesus, go from our bodies. Oh, right now. Right now. Right now. Ah, right now. Be healed. Be healed. Receive now. Oh. Yes, Lord. Now, just that quick. Begin to do what you couldn't do. Start doing what you couldn't do. Yeah. Just start doing what you couldn't do. Move what you couldn't move. I dare you to try. I dare you to try. I dare you. Move what you couldn't move. If you couldn't bend over, bend over. If you couldn't stretch out that arm, stretch it out. If you couldn't take a deep breath, lungs open now. Breathe. Breathe. Hey, shoulder be loose. That frozen shoulder be loose now. In the name of Jesus. Hey, arthritis going down from the elbow through the hand. Go now. Loose now. Right now. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ooh, just lean into him. Lean into him. Lean into him. Yes. Oh, my. All across the room, if the Lord has touched you, if you can tell the difference in your body, if he's just healed something, just lift up your hand, wave at me. Let me see. Amen. 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 Woo. My God. Woo. Oh, he's healing. Come on, don't let go of it so quick. He's healing. All those the Lord is already touching, just stand up. Come on. We're going to push our faith to the next level. Come on. Don't stop where he starts. That's when we lean into it. All those that he's already touching, you can tell a difference. Excellent. All right. Now lean into it. Start to do again what you couldn't do. Begin to do what you couldn't do. Father, we're asking not just for a touch, but let it never return in their bodies. Let it never return. Let today be the day of miracle for them. Let it never return. Those sitting around them, stretch your hands to them. Put your hands on them. Come on, agree. We agree now for the full manifestation of the power of God in our brothers and sisters. Come on, family. Let's work together. Come on. We stretch our faith to them. We decree over them, let today be the last day that problem is in their body. Healing and strength. Life be in your vessel. Strength be in your bones. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Now, as you're praying around them, start declaring life, 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 life. Yes. Life. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the beginning, but now we want the rest of it. Life. Life. Yes. Now, those that are standing and being prayed for, now one last time, just begin to do what you couldn't do. Stretch it out. Let the 100% come. Let the rest of it come. Let that mobility come. Woo! Sheria baropo namahashe. Hey! Kashanda bahai. Oh! Yes, yes. Pastor, just put your hand on him. Right? Yes. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Completely whole. Completely whole. Oh. Completely, completely, completely. In the name of Jesus. The glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my, my, my. Okay. We were in hand this mic back, but brother, would you just come in? Come in, come in. My sister standing in the grave, just come, come in. Yeah, 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 yeah. Whoever's gonna come help me, come help me. Just lift up your hands. Oh, from this moment forward, in the name of Jesus, never again, never again, never again. Healing flow now. All of it. All of it. Completely whole. Completely whole. Completely whole. Completely whole. All the way through your system right now. Hey. Oh, the power of the Holy Ghost. He's moving through you right now. Yes, sir. Oh. All of it. All of it. All of it. Right now, right now, right now. Y'all back up just a little bit, just a little bit. In the name of Jesus, right there, there it is, there it is, there it is. Reboko robasandeleko sipa, tishot namaya. It all goes now, 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 now. Oh, oh. What did the Lord do? What was happening in you? Yes, sir. Total body pain.
Been in pain for the last 3 months.
My God.
And I don't know where it's been coming from.
How you feel now?
I'm not in pain.
No pain now? Ah, glory to God. Hey, he's a good God. Woo. And you're a father. For the Lord has raised you up to be a father to the fatherless. For young men that have been orphans, young men that have been rejected, for your entire journey was to teach you how to survive those that did not cover you. So you shall now cover them. You shall cover the broken and the wounded, and you shall raise them up, for the Lord is with you. Pain never returned in the name of Jesus. Ooh. Yes, ma'am. Oh, what'd the Lord do? You don't know. It just feels good. Woo! Double portion. Double portion. Double portion. Double portion. Oh, Rabandehe. Oh, the glory of God. The glory of God. Restoration, full mobility now. Everything that was restricted, be loose now. Oh, take a deep breath. Healing flow now. Right now. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, he's with you. Complete it, Lord. Complete it. Complete it. Complete it. Complete it. Complete it. Oh, my, 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 my. Yeah. Oh, he's with you. He's with you. Wait a minute. I'll come back. You come, come, come. Mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Come, come, come. Yeah. Fire. And every attack that's been against you, we break it now. We break it now. That assignment is over. That assignment is over. That assignment is over. Peace be upon you. Peace, peace, peace be upon you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whose calf muscle am I feeling? Somebody's calf muscle. You've been having an issue in your calf. Is that, come, come. You, would you come? Would you come? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How long has it been bothering you? What's going on? Since October. Oh, well, it's time for that to go. Just... right now. Right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Just pick it up and put it down. Give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory. Right now. Give her a new cap, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. New cap. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Hey. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We bless you,
Lord. Let your glory come.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name
of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shalom. Does it hurt as much?
All right. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just ask for all of it. All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. Oh, your grace and your glory be upon your daughter. All of it. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, my, my, my.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my.
May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you. May the Lord breathe back into your house. May the Lord birth a new season. The heart of the Father beats in your chest and has always been there. For those sons that were thrown away, even for sons in ministry, those that were serving the Lord, but they were left and they were shipwrecked, you shall gather them. You shall put them underneath your wings. You shall teach them. You shall bring healing to them. Those that have not been fathered shall be fathered. And the Lord has heard your voice, woman of God. So I see you standing literally at the break of day. I see you standing with a cup in your hand like you're looking out of your window saying, Lord, I need you to heal families. I need you to restore them.
Yes.
Where the enemy has torn families into pieces. Where the enemy brought an old battle back into the house and tried to destroy and tear. You've been standing in the gap saying, Lord, I need to see this stop. Heal, heal. And so the Lord says, he shall knit back together the tapestry that was torn. Oh, Rabashilevangu. For the Lord is faithful to you. For you were faithful to the Lord. So bless them, Lord. Heal and restore. Heal and restore.
even now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my.
What was your name? Well, Mark, we just say thank you. The Lord's already moving all over you, Lord. But Lord, let's pray full restoration. Full restoration, Father. We rebuke the accuser right now in Jesus' name. Yes. All lies of the enemy, I command to come out right now in Jesus' name. I pray for healing ointment to flow over those wounds. It's been alive. The Lord says, I'm restoring you.
Yes.
From your innermost being, I'm restoring you. There's be a full restoration and a refreshing of my spirit. The accuser, he has no place in your heart. He has no place in your mind. But I pray the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, that he's called you a son. He's called you a son. And that you are a father as well. You are a father. You've been a good father. And he's proud of you. But he's restoring that which the locust has eaten. He's restoring sevenfold. And your latter shall be greater than your former. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just going to let the Lord keep ministering, but if you have children, if you can go grab them really quickly, you can bring them back in. Michael, we receive the word today. You've marked us, you've brought us to a decision of who we're going to serve today. So we have to choose, and we choose the Lord.
Yeah.
If I can have the ushers come really quickly, we want to give you an opportunity to sow into Michael and his ministry and sow seed into this fertile ground. He's going all over the world. So we get to invest in him this morning. So you can give online, you can write it on an envelope for Michael, and we get to bless him this morning. Can you just thank him with your hands? So the ways to give on is up there. So ushers, go ahead, come on, and start passing those so you can give to him. But I wouldn't leave here until you make that choice, until you receive the word and make a choice today. Who am I going to serve? And settle that in your hearts today. So Jesus, we ask that you bless them and keep them. That your face shine upon them and you give them peace. And we bless them as they go this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want some more of Michael, tonight he'll be in our Ignite School. There is a fee for that because it is a school. So it's $30. I'd love to have you. Be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. At 5 o'clock tonight. Bless you.